Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, one of the things that I love doing in the fall is to host this show from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 to 3 Pacific, and sitting here and watch college football games. And it was strange doing it this past fall because some leagues were on, some weren't. We didn't know if the Big Ten was going to play. The Pac-12 was way behind, and because of that, the Pac-12 didn't really have a prayer in the world of sending a team to the college football playoff. The Big Ten had to change its rules to make sure that Ohio State got in, and then thank God they did that. Helped Ohio State get in to the college football playoff. They beat Clemson, get blown out by Alabama in the national championship game. I'm telling you all about this in June, hitting the rewind button on what happened last season because of everything that's happened in the last few days with the college football playoff proposal to go from 4 to 12, which I usually, my default setting as a college sports fan is that somebody involved in college athletics, whether it's the NCAA itself or the conference commissioners or the athletic directors, I usually bank on them to get it wrong because they're stuck in the past. The whole model is antiquated. The whole way college sports has worked for a long time is out of touch with reality. I think this name, image, and likeness thing will help bring college sports into the 21st century, which I want that to happen as someone who loves college football and college basketball. If there's a way to keep the sport prosperous and to allow for it to thrive and allow for the labor, the athletes, the people playing the game to get more out of it, at no expense to the school or to any of us, great. I'm all for it. I don't want to see college sports die on the vine. And I think that even though it would be easy to look at what the college football playoff committee heads did this week and think, well, the reason why they did it is because everybody's lost money. Everybody's lost money. You've had school athletic departments that have slashed programs. They've gotten rid of sports. Coaches have taken pay cuts. They've given out fewer scholarships. The college sports, the Division I sports industry complex has been uprooted and really thrown all out of kilter by the pandemic. Not having fans, not having the Ivy League. They haven't played any sports. Look at a league like that. Not that, you know, they need the money with the endowments that Harvard and Yale and those schools have, but like, that league hasn't even played games. They didn't play a college basketball season. They didn't play a college baseball softball season. They've shut down sports entirely for now. So I wasn't born yesterday. I didn't wake up like a Rip Van Winkle situation out of a deep sleep. I know what's going on. They're trying to find ways to make more money. Adding more games means they can get more money out of TV. They can get more money from advertisers, all of those things. And that's what expanding the college football playoff from 4 to 12 does. But this is one of those things that's also beneficial for us. That's what I care about. You know, when things get done in the name of greed, they're not always good. More isn't always better. When when conferences, when the biggest conferences started expanding, the Big Ten, the SEC, the ACC, I don't think that was good for college sports. It ruined a lot of natural, geographic college football rivalries. It ruined a lot of games. It took away and deprived us of a lot of games that should happen every single year. And when teams moved from one conference to another, because even though it might not make sense geographically, it makes sense because, well, this conference has this television deal and they've got their own cable channel too, and all like that came first. That was prioritized. And I think that's one of the more painful sports losses of probably my life, is that college football used to have, even if the rivalry didn't mean a lot to you, because let's face it, probably for the, even if you're an Ohio State fan, you've got Michigan, and if you're an Army fan, you've got Navy. But what I'm trying to say is, even if you don't have a dog in the fight, college football rivalries shine through, and you can get invested and you can get sucked in even when the teams play 3,000 miles away from where you live. And conference realignment, almost 10 years ago, screwed up a lot of that, much of that. Kansas doesn't play Missouri. That's one. Texas doesn't play Texas A&M. Nebraska doesn't play Oklahoma. I mean, I could go on and on with that. So sometimes when they chase the dollar, when they follow the money, it can ruin a sport. In this case, what the College Football Playoff Committee did is, I think, finally give us, we finally have a true national championship in college football. It only took, I'm 35, going to be 36 next January. It only took all of my teenage, adolescent, young adult 20s and half my 30s to get here. But now that I'm almost middle-aged, we finally, for the first time in my life, have something that resembles a real postseason in college football. Because everything else was based on politicking, and for a while, computer and subjective voting, and it was really never. Sometimes it got determined or decided on the field because you had two clear-cut teams that were better than everyone else. You know, back in the, for a big chunk of my life, even if the two best teams, you know, if one of the best teams were in the Big Ten and the other was in the SEC, you'd never get them in a national championship game because the Big Ten always sent its conference champion to the Rose Bowl. So, I mean, Penn State, what was that, 94? Penn State played Oregon. Nebraska played who? Tennessee, I think. Maybe it was Florida? I forget. But either way, like, Nebraska should have played Penn State. But they couldn't because Penn State had to go to the Rose Bowl. So we ended up with co-national champions. That happened a few times. That happened with what? USC and LSU? And that's probably what started to pave the way towards a college football playoff with four teams. They didn't want co-national champions. They didn't want the AP voting one team national champion and the coaches poll voting someone else. So that's what got us to four. But then what happened with four was that it became too exclusive again. And the entire time, college football has had this oligarchy where the big-time players in major Division I FBS college football, they were technically all in this under the same umbrella, but they never gave... Teams would go into every... Like, let's say, what's the number now? 135, 140 FBS college football teams, 150, 135 FBS college football schools. Only 50 of them, so fewer than half of the entire FBS makeup, FBS community, less than half had a realistic shot or any shot to win a national championship. Because if you played in a non-Power 5 conference, there was no way for you to compete for a national championship. They gave you the playoff set up, you know, they had a little, they threw in a rule that said, well, we're going to take one group of five team and we're going to put them into one of our bowl games. Western Michigan, Central Florida, Houston, Boise State. If you have a great year, congratulations. You don't get into the college football playoff, but we'll let you play a 9-3 SEC team in the Cotton Bowl. We'll let you play a 10-2 Big Ten team in the Orange Bowl. That's what those teams were playing for. Just a shot at a top 10 team that wasn't good enough to make the playoff. And we've seen increasingly in the last few years that those teams, a lot of their NFL-ready products would skip that bowl game anyways. So you'd get a watered-down, diluted version. If you're Houston and you're playing Florida State, let's say, Florida State's got, you know, maybe a half dozen guys that aren't even going to play in the game because they're off for greener NFL pastures. So it's not even like a true litmus test measuring stick game. And that was all the Central Florida and Boise State and Houston and Cincinnati and Coastal Carolina. That's all BYU. That's all those schools had to play for. Well, now it's open to everyone. Because there's five power conferences, and this proposal says the top six conference champions are guaranteed spots in this playoff. That means every team that is in a major conference, Sunbelt schools, MAC schools, Mountain West schools, Conference USA, American, the group of five, every single team in those conferences knows when it starts, when the season starts, that they have a shot of competing for a national championship. Now, the odds are less than 1%, but at least there's a way for them to get invited into the tournament. There's a way for them to get in. That hasn't existed. For the last 100 years of college football, or whatever, that hasn't existed for those schools. Well, that's being hyperbolic. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you get my point. I hope you do. If you weren't in the SEC, the Big Ten, the ACC, the Big 12, whatever, you had no shot. Because they were going to say any committee or any computer ranking that got used, computer formula for the BCS, was going to hold your strength of schedule against you, your conference against you, and it was going to keep those schools out of it. They were going to leave them out in the cold. Now, everyone has a shot. The college football playoff that we have now debuted back in 2014. If you start with that year and make a 12-team playoff based on the rules that were laid out earlier in the week and start in 2014 and go through last year, last season, so that's 7 years, 38 different teams would have made the playoff. That's great for college football. Because even though a lot of those teams, let's face it, they'll get in and they'll lose in the first round and the games might not even be that competitive. And if in the second round, the quarterfinal games might not even be that close either. Because I don't think that this closes the gap between Alabama and the rest of college football necessarily. But as we've seen in the NCAA tournament with great teams, the more games you have to win, the harder it is for the best team to win the championship. When you're dealing with one and done, and it's not a best of seven like the NBA playoffs, and all you need is one bad day, it is harder to win four games or three games to win a national championship than it is to win just two in a playoff. So just because of that, I think the odds of having repeat champions and one team that lords over college football, it's going to become increasingly hard, even with five-star recruits and NFL players and the factories that Alabama and Clemson have become. It's going to be harder for those schools to win just because of the way this tournament's going to be set up now. Those games aren't going to get played on neutral fields. The quarterfinals, semifinals, and national, on home fields. The quarterfinals, semifinals, and national championship are all neutral fields. So it is more of a gauntlet for even Alabama or Clemson or the Ohio State, the teams that we see in the college football playoff every year. So I love this. It's one of the few times I can say with a straight face where I'm not trying to fake it or I'm not trying to gin up an opinion to get a reaction. It's one of the few times with a straight face I can say, you know what? The big wigs that run college football got together and not only did they have a great idea, they were actually able to pull it off and execute it. They came to a consensus or they came up with a compromise that's good for the sport. And it's great for us, the fans. Because before, when we would talk about Coastal Carolina being undefeated or Cincinnati being undefeated, it was a waste of time. Because all we were talking about was, well, those teams now, they're going to get invited to like the Sugar Bowl and they're going to play a 9-win team from a big conference that might not even be that invested in the game. Now they legitimately know if we run the table, we can get into the college football playoff and take our chances. The same way the mid-major schools in the NCAA tournament, Butler, VCU, Loyola, Chicago, the same way those teams have done so in the NCAA tournament, and that's part of the charm. That's part of the allure. That's part of the, yeah, I mean, the NCAA tournament, mostly it's a betting thing where you fill out your bracket. You fill out your bracket. You bet on it. You take Thursday and Friday off from work. I mean, that's really what makes the NCAA tournament, you know, one of the best sporting events in the world. But the other part is that the little guy has a chance. A 15 seed, Oral Roberts, went to the Sweet 16 last March. That was awesome. That was cool. You know, I don't think we're going to have, you know, I think even though we're going to invite these teams, I don't think they're going to win. I don't think that we're going to have these non-traditional schools win the national championship, win the college football playoff, but now they get a chance to prove it. Instead of Central Florida having to put up, you know, a fake banner in their stadium and give out fake rings and have a fake parade that say national champions, now they get a chance to actually prove it. That year that they went undefeated and did all that, I think they were the eighth ranked team in the country. So they'd play an 8-9 game in Orlando. They'd host a playoff game, which is also, that would be a program changer. And then if they won that game, they'd get the number one team in the country the next week. And not in their stadium. They wouldn't have to go to Baton Rouge or go to Tuscaloosa. They'd get that team on a neutral field. Cincinnati was the 8th-ranked team in the country last year. They would have played a game at Nippert Stadium in Cincinnati, and then if they won that game, they would have gotten a chance to play Alabama on a neutral field. Now, they probably would have gotten smoked, but at least they have a chance to do that now. Coastal Carolina would have played Notre Dame in the playoff. You can't tell me that a game like that doesn't get on your radar and hype you up. Undefeated Coastal Carolina, Notre Dame, perennially, habitually overrated. Coastal would never get that game. They get it in the college football playoff. So I think this is great for college football. I'd love to know how you feel about it. If you think 12, do you think 12 is the right number? Did you like it better at 4? Would you have preferred 8? Did you want him to go even bigger, 16, more than that? Let me know. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I'd love to get your take. It's probably the best college football story I've seen in years. Because I think it's going to get fans back into it. It's going to keep fans engaged. It's not going to make you feel like college football is as much of a haves and have-nots sport. College football now, it's Oklahoma, Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, LSU. And that's really about it. Everybody else is a tier below that. Now it's open. Now for the first time, college football is open for open to everyone. And I want to get your thoughts on going to 12 at 855-212-4227. My name's Andrew Filippone. I'm coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. Talking about the college football playoff expanding to 12 at 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. We'll take your calls on it, get your reaction to it, what you like, what you don't like about it. I don't really see any drawbacks or issues or problems with it, but maybe you're a nitpicker and a complainer and you can find something about the college football playoff proposal that you don't like at 855-212-4227. My name's Andrew Filippone. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
Listening to Andrew Filippone on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, they like to say in my business, the talk radio business, just get your foot in the door. Just get in there. That's how I started in this business. I took a job that paid peanuts, and I looked at it and thought of it like an internship or going to graduate school. If I went to grad school, it would have cost me an arm and a leg. So instead of me paying for something, I won't get paid a lot to do something that's going to give me the early experience that I need, practical experience I need, to go further in this industry. And so that's what I did. I took a job in Buffalo, New York. I was there for 2 years. I didn't make a lot of money, but I learned a lot. I made great contacts. I made great friends. I made a lot of mistakes. I had good mentors, good teachers. They taught me. And if not for that, if I had said to a job like that, you know what, this isn't going to pay me enough money, I'm not going to do it, I probably would have ended up going to law school or starting my own business, which would have cost a ton of money. And I'm not anywhere near talk radio. Who knows where I'm at in life? But I had people that were telling me in my ear, man, don't care about your bottom line yet. Just get your foot in the door. You're 22 years old. They offer you this job, take it. Don't care about the money. The money will come. And that's how I look at the college football playoff now for the little guy. The little guy finally gets a seat at the table. It's probably only one seat. It's probably only one of 12. But at least it's guaranteed. With the six conference winner stipulation to this. And that's what has ticked me off and irritated me about college football for so long. Is that unlike college basketball, where any Division I team can start its season and say, we actually have a chance. We're given a chance to win it. Now, the deck is stacked against us. But at least we get dealt into the game of cards. Boise State, Houston, Cincinnati, Memphis, Toledo, Western Michigan. Those schools were all playing Division I football, but they weren't really playing it. Now they're all in. Last year, two group of five teams would have made the playoffs, Cincinnati and Coastal Carolina. Now, I think that's an outlier. I think that's an anomaly. I think that probably won't happen very often. But at least there's one spot for one of those teams. And so I think that's what makes it a true national championship now. It's not just based on voting and politics and popularity and all that. Now every team, if you're playing Division I football, you can find a way into the college football playoff. I think 12's, and that's what makes 12 better than 8, because if they had gone 8, they would have probably found a way to squeeze the little guy out again. 855-212-4227. Here is Tino in Chicago on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Tino.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Appreciate
you taking my call.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've been pro-expand the playoff since the inception of the playoff. I've been always wanting it, but the same counter-argument I get every single time. Oh, you want to see Alabama beat this 12 seed or beat the brakes off them. And I'm not sure why, because I don't know if they watched or not the last how many years Alabama comes and beats the brakes off the best teams in the country consistently.
So how many teams did you want in the playoff then?
I would love 16. I'll settle for 12.
Okay. Well, I still think that we're going to see most of the same teams winning the national championship. But they're going to have to work harder to do it. And it's not going to be, I think, the monotony of Alabama-Clemson and Alabama-Ohio State in the same matchup over and over and over and over again. I can almost guarantee you that with more teams, that's not going to happen. Here's Matt in South Carolina on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, brother?
Hey.
Well, my angle of it is, more games, you're gonna have more interest, correct? Is that not how the statistics show?
Yeah, you're right.
So the fans are gonna get the best because we get to see great football, more football games. And you know, I play ball myself. I play at Newberry College in South Carolina.
Okay, so what's your point? You don't like this because you think too many guys are going to get hurt now?
I think that's an angle of it. Do you not? I mean, that's kind of selfish of fans to continue want more and more games. And, you know, to put a great product out there, you're going to have to recruit and have – 5 stars stacked up, and these top schools are continuing to do that. I'm a Clemson fan. I know how many quarterbacks we've had transfer. It's the reason we got all those quarterbacks.
Let me
play more games.
Let me ask you a question. You said you're in South Carolina.
Yes, I'm in South Carolina.
If a high school football team wins the state championship in the state of South Carolina, how many games do they play in a season?
That'll be 12, 11.
That's it. So they only play like 6 regular season games.
Yes. Yeah. We don't have our schedules down here.
Okay. Well, then I guess I'm talking to the wrong guy, because I'm in Pennsylvania, and where we are, if you're going to win a state championship, you basically play an NFL schedule. So guys are used to doing that in high school. Okay. So you're asking, what's the ask here? Like, what's the most games a team can play? 12 regular season games. A conference championship, 13, and then 4 playoff games if they go the whole way. So the absolute max would be 17. That is a lot. But if you're that kind of team, you've also got 2 or 3 cupcake games in there. Like, I don't think every game is a nail biter where your starters and best players are playing all 60 minutes. Here's Biff in Wisconsin on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Biff.
Hey, Chief. I think you're spot on with all of it. I mean, I'm saying with what you're saying, because it was an antitrust deal going between about 6 or 7 or 8 schools when they had it for so many years as just 4 schools being in it.
Yeah.
And then this way it opens it up. So they had no other choice but to open it up. But then what's up with the Title IX? Because right after Biden got elected, you know, they announced that they had to drop women's sports. Now, all of a sudden, nobody's talking about that. They're going to need the money. So, I mean, Do you suppose sports gambling had any lobbying interests going on with any of these people? And here's my
I think that's the invisible hand in all this. I think that absolutely is a factor. They'll never say it because college has to pretend way more than the pros do now that that's a consideration. But it's the same thing with the NCAA tournament. They know why that event gets so many eyeballs and makes so much money. It's because it's bet on more than the Super Bowl when you add all the games up. And the same thing will happen with this. College football, they're a business. So they want to get there. They want more pie. They want a bigger slice of it. They want the whole damn thing. And 12 teams does it. They're recouping a lot of money. Now they feel like they've expanded the conferences. Now they need to expand the playoff. And I think for a while they liked that it was almost an elitist thing. That it was almost a club situation where only the select few got to be a part of this. But then when the pandemic hit, I think in college football in the long run, that might end up being a blessing in disguise. Because I think what it did was it empowered elite college football players to opt out. And when they opted out and said it's because of personal reasons, the pandemic, and then they didn't see their NFL draft stock plummet, it proved to those guys that there was no scarlet letter for leaving school and not playing games. They weren't going to get branded by NFL teams. And I think for that reason, college football's like, well, we got a situation on our hands now. We've got to incentivize our great players. We need to give them a greater reason to stay in school and play college football. We need them to make our money. So the name, image, and likeness thing, and the expanded playoff. Because now fewer great players are going to blow off the end of the year. They were blowing off bowl games, and they weren't just blowing off the Motor City Bowl and the Poinsettia Bowl. They were starting to blow off the Orange Bowl and Fiesta Bowl in those games if they weren't tied into the playoff. So I think 12 is a great number. I'm not complaining about it. It's honestly one of the best things that's happened in college sports in a long time, this news about an expanded playoff this week. I want to know if you agree with me, if you think 12 is right, you see problems, you see issues, or if you like it as much as me. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. Right now, it's the latest sports update with Kevin Dexter.
You're listening to Andrew Filippone on CBS Sports Radio.
Tonight on CBS, a brand new racing series pulls into prime time with some of the best drivers in the world from all different disciplines, including Tony Stewart, 2021 Indy 500 winner Helio Castroneves. They compete against each other using identical cars to prove their best on the track. Welcome to Superstar Saturday Night, the premiere of the SRX series tonight, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. On CBS TV. CBS has been the home of the SEC for a long time. And some of the college football playoff expansion detractors say, well, this will just be the SEC Invitational. They're going to add a ton more SEC teams into this thing. We're just going to have a national championship game every year of SEC teams. If you go back to when the college football playoff was established, you go back to 2014, and then you say, hypothetically speaking, instead of four teams making the playoffs every year back then, it was 12. Using the college football playoff committee rankings going back to 2014, so that's the last 7 years, the average number of SEC teams that would have made the playoff is 3 per year. So 3 out of 12. 25% of the field That's not an overload of SEC teams. If a quarter of this tournament every year is SEC teams, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Alabama, Florida, Auburn, LSU, Georgia, Mississippi State, random SEC team or whatever. I don't see how America could be against that. Now, if it ever ballooned up, say 5 of 12, well, that would be a problem. But that's never happened. The most last year, we had 4 teams from the SEC ranked in the top 12. But last year is a hard year to really draw any conclusions or base anything on because the Pac-12 played like 5 games and the Big Ten started so late. That's the only year where they would have had more than 3. Going back to 2014 was last year for the SEC. So they won't dominate this thing. I like that Notre Dame can't get a bye. That should be the price they pay for not being in a conference. Forces them to join one. And if they join one, it has to be the ACC by rule. Let's hear what Adam in Indiana has to say. Hi, Adam. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's going on, man? I absolutely hated this idea, 12 teams. But the last couple of days I've thought about it. I actually love it.
What made you flip? What made you switch?
Honestly, I want Notre Dame to be in a conference. I love everything Notre Dame stands for, but I don't care about the – I just want to be in a conference. That's what I want. I want it to be more fair, and I want to be in a conference, and I just think it would be better for us if we were.
So if you're in the ACC and you're in the Coastal Division playing Georgia Tech, Duke – Virginia Tech, Pitt, and those teams every year, and you lose out on playing Purdue, Michigan, Michigan State, Navy, if those rivalries go away as a result of joining the ACC, you're cool with that?
I don't know about that. In a way, I would love to see Notre Dame join the Big Ten, but I don't think that's ever going to happen. But then
the way they worked things out, in order to get into the ACC bowls, because what happens is, the way things are lined up now, when Notre Dame misses out on the college football playoff, they get into the ACC bowl games. The way that agreement was written is, if Notre Dame's going to join a conference, it has to be the ACC from now until 2036. So unless they pay their way out of that or get lawyers to renegotiate that deal, they can't join the Big Ten or another conference. It has to be the ACC, like they were in last year. They were in the ACC last year. They weren't an independent because of the pandemic. They wanted to play college football at Notre Dame last year. Notre Dame wanted to play. If you doubt, I don't think Notre Dame clearly on the field product, very overrated. They haven't won a national championship since the 80s. However, if you doubt how powerful Notre Dame's brand is, in 2021, Notre Dame was a big reason why college football happened last year. Because the Big Ten said, we're not going to play. And Notre Dame said, you know what? I think we still want to play. So they found the ACC. That gave the ACC even more incentive to try to play. The SEC already wanted to play. The Big 12 went along with it. And then as time went on, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 got pressured into playing and everything kind of sort of worked out, but Notre Dame was a big power broker in college football happening last year. And even with this new proposal, their athletic director, Jack Swarbrick, was instrumental and was heavily involved. And he only represented himself in his school. He wasn't representing the ACC or anybody else's interest. Here is Jonathan in Ohio on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Jonathan.
What's up, man? How are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good.
So here's my biggest takeaway from this, and I think the reason I like it most is because I feel like this is going to basically force their hand finally to get the name, image, and likeness thing done across the board. Because I feel, you know, 2021 and 20 have taught us anything. It's that the kids and the students and even general workers in the workforce, everybody's kind of realizing they've got the power in numbers now. And I think that if they're going to say, well, now we're going to make a whole bunch of extra money on these TV deals from adding these games – I think the kids are finally at the point where they're going to say, listen, you better get this NIL thing figured out. And if you don't, then we're going to start skipping games and skipping practices. And I think they finally realize they've got enough power in their side to kind of dictate where that goes. And I've been saying NIL should be around for, you know, the last 15 years.
Well, and you know why and you know why it's needed too? Because I think they're thinking that this NIL thing is inevitable. The colleges, the conference commissioners were thinking it's going to happen. The courts are going to pass it through. We're going to have to deal with this. And they probably figured if only a few teams could make the college football playoff, then all of those great athletes would, if they didn't already want to go to those schools, now they want to go to those schools even more. Because that's where the eyeballs are going to be. That's where the ratings are going to be. And that's how they're going to end up getting paid. So now that everyone theoretically has a shot at making the playoff, that opens things up for everyone to go to whatever school they want and cash in on endorsements there, not just at Alabama, Ohio State, et cetera, the top dogs. I think it's a final at the Euro tournament. Belgium beats Russia 3-0. Belgium went undefeated in the qualifying for this tournament, 10-0-0. They're the number one ranked team in the world, according to FIFA. And they just blew out Russia 3-0. So they're not through because it's a group stage, but they're in the driver's seat there big time. So that one's just gone final. We got baseball going on. We got basketball tonight with the Clippers and Jazz. And backs against the wall for the Clippers. This is going to be a huge game for the future of that team and a lot of their players. I know the Clippers aren't a big ratings draw, and they don't have a ton of fans. So we're not going to talk Clippers basketball next. That would be, you know, rating suicide for me. But what would be good is if we talked about, how about this? Which team that's trailing will come back and win their series? I'll tell you who it is next. The Pony Express, CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.